Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Elaine B. and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Massachusetts. And today's date is the last Friday of the year, December 30th, 2022. And today we are reading from the Big Book and we are on page 52 in We Agnostics. Reading paragraph 3, it begins with when we saw others and ends with, but the God idea did, and we'll be commenting on that whole paragraph. Today's readers are Ann S. for the 12 steps, Shay D. for the 12 traditions, Jody E. will read our and comment on our text, Julie E. B. will close us out with page 164, and Penny L. C. is here for backup. Thank you. DOA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We're self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states that each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took that are suggested as a program of recovery. I'll now ask Ann S. to please read the 12 steps for us.
Hi, good morning. This is Ann S. I am a compulsive overeater in Maine. Step one, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to all compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thanks.
Thank you, Ann S. And I will now ask Shay D. to please read the 12 traditions of OA.
Good morning, everyone, and thank you, Elaine, for your service. Shay D., recovering in California and grateful today. The 12 traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Eight, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for letting me be of service, and Happy New Year. And I pass.
Thank you so much, Shay D. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery that are described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we're discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We're sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book. We are on page 52 in the chapter We Agnostics, reading paragraph 3. And I will now ask Jody E. to please read that for us. Thank you.
Thank you, Elaine, and good morning, everyone. This is Jody E., gratefully recovered from bulimia, anorexia, and compulsive overeating in California, where it has been raining, thank you, God. When we saw others solve their problems by a simple reliance upon the spirit of the universe, we had to stop doubting the power of God. Our ideas did not work, but the God idea did. So, two expressions for this mystery that we cannot quite perhaps comprehend are used in this paragraph. Spirit of the universe, and of course the word God. And there are other expressions used in this book for God, creator, father. There's a number of different terms used for this concept of God. If you have a problem with this word God, which many people do, maybe another term works better for you. Spirit of the universe is a good one. I like it. The point is, whatever you call it, there is something greater than ourselves. And certainly, as compulsive overeaters, we realize, we know that our lives have become unmanageable without relying on something greater than ourselves, by relying on ourselves alone. So our disease, the food, brings us to our knees. Our life does become unmanageable, and we end up here. And here, by the grace of God, we end up here. We get to hear the voices of recovered compulsive overeaters. And we can hear in those voices that something is at work that is not at work in ourselves at this present time. And those of us who have recovered are here to tell you that reliance upon something greater than ourselves, even if we don't understand what it is, by beginning to abstain entirely from our alcoholic foods and behaviors and working these 12 steps, this reliance works. It works. We are recovered and our problems of life are being solved. And with that, my time is up and I will pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Jody E. Though we value everybody's experience, we do ask that you limit your share to every third day so that others can share their experience as well. So if you haven't shared in the last couple of days, please press star 1 to unmute and give me your name if you'd like to share.
Carla C. in California.
Jamie M. California, Southern California, Jamie M.
Okay, so all I heard was Carly C., Jamie M., I heard a man's voice, and a few others as well.
Larry G. is who you heard, Larry G. from California.
Larry G.? Okay, who else wants to get in this lineup?
Freya H.
Freya H.
Virginia
Anybody
F.
else? Virginia S. Anyone else?
Liz A.
All righty. Okay, well, that's so fabulous. Thank you, everybody. All right, I've got Carly C. followed by Jamie C., Larry G., Freya H., Virginia S., and Liz A. And then we'll take another lineup. So Carly C., please share with us, and you'll be followed by Jamie C.
Good morning, everyone. This is Carla C., and I am a gratefully recovered compulsive overeater, and I love the God idea. I love the spirit of the universe, and I love this program. And through this program, I get faith, hope, and love. And through faith, I get awareness. And through hope, I get acceptance. And through love, I love. And I take action, and I love myself, and I received the miracles of the program. And I was told when I first came in, don't quit before the miracle happens for you. And so that's what I'm sharing today. Don't quit before the miracle happens to you. This program works, and work it because you're worth it. Thanks. It's Carla in California.
Thank you so much, Carla. That is so true, too. Jamie C., you're up next, followed by Larry G.
Hello, this is Jamie M. from Southern California, Irvine, rainy day. I moved here. I'm not sure I love the rain. I grew up with that, but kidding. I am a compulsive eater in recovery today. And boy, God, it's like a three-letter word that means so many things. I was on the stair climber, and my sponsor wants me to suggest it. I don't have to do it, but I take her suggestions most of the time. I'm learning to probably take them now all the time. So what's grateful is I was listening to Harlan G. about agnostics. And I mean, I've heard this. I've listened a couple times. But every time I listen or come to a meeting, I learn something new. And maybe my higher power gives me these things at a certain point in my life. If I open my arms, my hands, my eyes are clear, and my ears are able to hear, I get so much more. I mean, I can't believe it. I went to a job interview. I had such fear for these new job interviews after COVID and moving and my life and losing everything. And I went to some job interview, just spiritual. God, go before me, whatever. I felt I rocked it, but I didn't have an expectation like I did the last time. And I said, well, if it's meant to be, God will be there. God's rejection for my protection. I didn't blow it off. Of course I want the job. It's like a dream for me. It pays nothing, but it's a place that brings me such joy in my real life. Suggested by my sponsor, apply somewhere you enjoy. Well, guess what? They called me. I thought I was going to have to meet the CEO. And she says, congratulations, you are the blah, blah, blah of lifetime, and we would like to welcome you. I said to her, baffled by this, like when I didn't pick up food, I said, could you repeat that? So she repeated it, and I'm laughing because I didn't believe it because I'm an addict. But when it sunk in, I do have a job in March. That doesn't mean I don't try to work. Thank you. But because I trusted God and God went before me, I don't know. Even if I got rejected, I took the action. That's what Harlan said. Thank you for letting me share. I appreciate this meeting. I love it here.
Thank you so much, Jamie M. Larry G., you're up next, and you'll be followed by Freya H.
Thank you, Wayne. My name's Larry G. I'm from Northern California. I'm recovered, but I don't walk on water, as my beloved sponsor on this call will attest to. But also will attest that I have the gift of desperation, and I take tons of imperfect action every day, and I found that's the reason that I'm recovered today. Wow, what beautiful language Bill uses. In May of 2020, after having four dinners, I live in an urban part of town, and I'm sitting there watching people walk by, you know, having a cup of coffee, talking with each other, living their life. And I just asked God. I had this delusion that my path was supposed to be free of any obstacles. And I said, God, you know, you helped me to recover from alcoholism. You helped me to begin to recover from the family of origin. You know, haven't I suffered enough in this lifetime? I haven't had enough pain and humiliation. Why this? And that was my mindset, right? That was my mindset. That day I had a spiritual experience, as it's described in the appendix too. And today, what I believe is this. I don't believe this, I know this, that God does not remove obstacles from my life. There will be pain and suffering. There will be pain and suffering without humiliation. But through that pain and suffering, thank God that I have drawn closer to my creator of my misunderstanding. I have a relationship today that I long for, I yearn for each day. Some days better than others. And that is the foundation today of my abstinence. Not Larry, you know, we hear all the time that food was the solution. Food was never the solution for me. Food was not the solution. Larry was the solution. And today I practice an imperfect step 10. I really love the God of my misunderstanding. And I am obedient, as it says many times in the big book, faith without actions is dead. I'm obedient to that God. And I do the very best I can each day to show my love, you know, and through a faith in action. So I've discovered that the pain and suffering that I've experienced will draw me. And I don't care how recovered I am, there will be pain and suffering. I'm going through that right now with a son who is dying. And tell now, anybody there who thinks that I have created that pain and suffering is delusional. And I am suffering from that. But I'm getting through it one day at a time without the food, without alcoholic behavior, doing with dignity, doing the steps, working with sponsor, working with sponsees. But I'm in a lot of grief. And God will not remove that grief. That's part of the human condition. But I can show God my determination to be obedient to his will by compelling and vigorous action. I pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Larry G. I'm very sorry to hear about your son. We'll hold him in prayer. Very, very sorry. Freya H., you are up next, followed by Virginia S.
Good morning. This is Freya H., a recovered compulsive eater, bulimic restrictor. I'm in Colorado. Thank you, everybody. Thank you so much for your service, Elaine. This paragraph follows the bedevilments, which to me, the bedevilments are about, you know, about facing the fact that this is not just a food problem, that this is a living problem. You know, the idea that, oh, if the, you know, if my food were just perfect and my body were the way I wanted it, then I would just be happy, joyous, and free. And the truth is, I experience these bedevilments. And so it's a deeper problem. So this paragraph says, we saw others solve their problems and by relying on God, basically, and not just the food problem, but the life problem. And it says, our ideas did not work, but the God idea did. And for me, what has been the biggest stumbling block, or one of the biggest, is the fact that my ideas seem to work. You know, like they gave me a sense of ease and comfort. They didn't give me true ease and comfort, but they gave me enough of a, you know, enough of a hit, enough of a high that I thought they worked. So it was really, really, it's really, really hard to let go of something that I have an association with security and safety and the, you know, if I had to boil it down to one thing, it's self-reliance, you know. So self-reliance, I'm told, does not work, but man, it feels like it does. And it feels very threatening to let go of this thing that has appeared to serve me and get me through a lot of tough things in my life. It's been my coping mechanism. So I have to come to the point where I recognize that, yes, my self-reliance has availed me something. It has seemed to work, but in the long term, it has not, you know, the result has been nil when it comes to peace, serenity, actually feeling contentment, you know, the opposite of restless, irritable, and discontent. That's what I've been seeking. And I really have not, I haven't been able to manufacture that on my own. So this tells me the God idea will work. And I'm just left at that place where, am I willing to try it? You know, if I see something in other people, am I willing to do what they did to try to see if it's going to work for me? So anyway, I just think that is such a powerful and simple paragraph, but I have to come to it through my own experience. I can't, that's my experience. I can't just, you know, I can't become willing until I'm really aware that what I have isn't working. So with that, I will pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Freya H. Virginia S., you're up next, followed by Liz A.
Hi, everyone. I'm Virginia, and I am kind of a chronic relapser trying to come back to the program. The reading today about God being higher power, I feel like God is like throwing himself in front of my car constantly, in the sense that like I've had a lot of miracles happen in my life. Not that life is easy, but just I've been carried in so many ways. I'm trying to come back into the program. Unfortunately weigh more than I did when I was pregnant with my kids right now. But I realize that almost the bigger problem is in my head, like just daily living, as opposed to will my clothes fit. So I feel like I'm seeking the program today for God, a closer connection to God, for the physical recovery, and also for the mental clarity. Because for me, when I'm not in the program, I almost feel like I'm dying. Like, I just feel like I can't. I make everything my higher power other than God. And things are transient. So I just think I'm really looking for a spiritual connection and hear from anybody who's had relapse and come back. I would love to get calls later on or make calls. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Virginia S. Lots of experience, strength, and hope on this line. Thank you. Liz A., you're up next, and then we're going to take another lineup on page 52, paragraph 3 in We Agnostics. Paragraph 3 begins with "when we saw others" and ends with "but the God idea did." Please share with us, Liz A.
Hi, this is Liz A., recovered compulsive overeater from California. Thank you for your service. God, I love everyone's shares. You know, I came in to the program at the beginning of the pandemic, which is when my eating just all of a sudden became out of control. And I did have a belief in God. I had been cured or recovered from another addiction. God had worked miracles in my life. So I had a lot of hope, you know. And what ended up happening for me was this food idea, this food quote-unquote problem I kept relapsing. And I started to lose hope, and I saw what others did, and it was like, it's not working for me. Why is it not working for me? And then the real game changer came, which was this meeting, this vision meeting, because I heard so much recovery, and I heard the language of the heart, and something happened, and I worked my steps all over again, and now I'm continuing to work 10, 11, and 12, and 12 being the most important. And my old idea was just the diet and diet after diet, you know, and I gave up that old idea, and I asked God what he would want for me. And, you know, and now I believe God doesn't do things to us. He doesn't do things for us, but he does things through us, through all of us. And I thank you all for my recovery. And with that, I pass.
Thank you very much, Liz A. Though we value everybody's experience, we do ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you haven't shared in the past 2 days and you'd like to comment on page 52, paragraph 3, please press star 1 to unmute and give me your name.
Dawn A.
Well, I heard Dawn A and somebody else come in with her.
Robin P.
Kim A.
Oh, I heard Kim A and Robin P.
And Dawn B.
And Dawn B, yep. Anybody else?
Edward Z.
Edward Z?
Yeah.
Room for one or two more?
Amelia H.
Amelia H.
Mary Pat I.
And Mary Pat I. Okay, great. Pretty sure we'll be able to fit you all in. Thank you so much. So I've got Dawn B, Kim A, Robin P, Edward Z, Amelia, I think it was H, and Mary Pat I. So Dawn B, please share with us, and you'll be followed by Kim A.
Hi, this is Dawn B, a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Love this paragraph. We saw others solve their problems by a simple reliance on the spirit of the universe. That is just so wonderful. When I'm relying on myself, when I'm telling myself that I think I already know how people need to be acting, I already know how my husband needs to be acting, I already know how my children's lives need to be going, and I tell myself that I know better. In essence, I'm telling myself, I know better than God how life needs to be going. And what's happening right now should not be happening. When I do that to myself, I torture myself. I cause a tremendous amount of suffering for myself and others when I try to pretend that I know better than God, and that I try to pretend that, and I try to force my will. Just a tremendous amount of suffering. And I am, in essence, playing God. And when I'm doing that, it just, life does not go well at all. And this paragraph invites me to set that aside and instead practice relying on my higher power to tell me, to guide me into how life needs to be going. And so I surrender my ways. I put those aside and I simply rely on my higher power. And as each situation comes up during the day, I can pause and say, God, how would you have me handle this one? And it says in the big book, God is our director. So I'm the actor. I'm looking for how my director wants me to act in each situation. And I'm asking, help me to see this situation more like you see it, God. Give me your words. Help me to see this person more like you see them, God. Help me to love them as you would delight in me loving them. How would you have me handle this situation, God? Your will be done, not mine. And I get to practice moment by moment, surrendering and saying, whatever your will is, God, that is all I want. I surrender, and whatever your will is, I accept it, I welcome it, and I say thank you. May your will be done, not mine, God. Your will be done, not mine. And I get to practice that throughout the day and not beat myself up when I forget, but just surrender. That is my shortest pathway to peace in any moment, to just relax and ask for my higher power's will to be done, not mine. And it's a beautiful, beautiful reliance on the spirit of the universe. And I get to quit doubting the power of God. And I get to rely not on my ideas, but on God's ideas and God's way. And it's a beautiful, beautiful way of life. Thank you so much for allowing me to share. And I pass.
Thank you so much, Don D. Beautiful. Okay, Kim A., you're up next, followed by Robin P.
Thanks. This is Kim A. in New York City. And our ideas did not work. If our ideas worked, we wouldn't be here right now, right? In the nutshell, we're not here because of what we weigh. We're not here because of what we look like or think we look like. We're not here because we can't stop eating. I mean, that may be true, but the overall idea is that we're here because our ideas did not work. Our ideas are what led us into all of that, all of the eating and the gaining weight or the losing weight or the purging, you know, whatever the compulsive activity is that we do with food and the obsession. So when we look at the previous paragraph, right, the bedevilments, it doesn't say we were fat, we were compulsively eating, we couldn't stop eating sugar, we couldn't, you know, stop trying diets that never worked. It doesn't say anything about that. It doesn't say we couldn't avoid triggers. This is all about our thinking because our ideas did not work. All of these bedevilments are all about everything that's in our head, our attitudes, our perceptions, and the resulting actions from our flawed ways of thinking. And that's the stuff that led us to food, right? Not the specific ingredients or the foods or, you know, I chronically relapsed for 18 years and I thought it was somehow my fault. I thought it was because I wasn't on the right food plan or I wasn't working hard enough or I wasn't, you know, I didn't do this. And I tried every which way to make my food adhere to some kind of food plan. And the truth is that was no different for me than all those diets that I tried that never worked. And I didn't understand that the whole reason I was seeking even comfort from food to begin with, because of all of that crap in my head, all of that crap that's reflected in those bedevilments. And when we compare those bedevilments side by side with the promises of the program, what we get when we've recovered by working the steps, again, it says nothing about food, it says nothing about weight, it says nothing about alcohol or triggers or anything. It just reflects that our thinking has changed so much because our old ideas did not work. And when we were able to read the first four chapters of the big book and really start to understand that the problem was all about our thinking, that it was all about, you know, our lousy attitudes and perceptions, we were able to then continue the steps, learn how to have a relationship with a higher power, learn how to turn these things over to a higher power. And through that, we had this personality change, right? This spiritual awakening that allowed our thinking to change. And I'll sign off with that. This is Kim A., New York City. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you very much, Kim A. Robin P., you're up next, followed by Edward Z.
Thank you so much, Elaine. Thank you so much for your service and for everyone who makes this meeting possible. It's so good to hear you and everyone on this meeting. I'm Robin P. I'm a very grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater currently in Palm Beach Gardens, Florida. And you know, after 3 months of travel in 27 cities through Europe, one day at a time, abstinently, thank you, God. You know, that simple reliance upon the spirit of the universe, we had to stop doubting the power of God. You know, it's not simple reliance on man, And when I simply rely on them, I feel very upset at times. And, you know, we flew back from this wonderful 3-month tour to my dad's in Pittsburgh area for Christmas. And then Southwest Airlines didn't have 80% of their flights were canceled. So we drove 18 hours to my mom's in Palm Beach to be with her for New Year's. And wow, you know, I grew up in a lot of child abuse of every kind. And being with my dad, who is 95, he's still the same. And when I hope that he will change and turn any reliance on him, it's very painful for me. And they read the will and just to show us what it's going to be. And my step-siblings are in it and we're not in it. And, you know, I just have to let go and trust God. Trust God, clean house, help others. Turn my will and my life over to the care of God, that simple reliance on God, and work my steps on it. You know, I'm so grateful for the people in this program who just help me when old pain comes up, help me with 10, 11, and 12, and to release it and give it to God. What's my part of it? And it's so helpful. You know, our ideas did not work. Somehow my dad will change. But God's idea does work, acceptance of people, places, and things. And, you know, I'm eternally grateful for this program. You know, it's funny. There's my siblings and my step-siblings say, how are you the happy one in our family? You went through as much abuse as we did. How are you the happy one? It's this program and my simple reliance on God in this program. And, you know, my God squad. And we came back to the beach really quickly here yesterday. I was so excited about coming and going swimming and grounding in the beach. And I got stung by a man of war. And wow, I had to do 10-step work on it. Like, how did that happen? And God is totally taking care of me, and I am in God's loving hands. So God bless all of you with a very blessed abstinence day and weekend. Thank you, Elaine. I'm sending you a big hug from the past.
Oh, thank you. I hope you recover from that soon. Wow. Oh, thank you very much, Robin P. Edward Z., you're up next, followed by Amelia H.
Hi, thank you. Edward, compulsive overeater, disordered eater in general in Pennsylvania. Thank you for being here. I feel like I feel like I'm finding a home as I listen. I've listened to this meeting before in this group, and I feel like there's the recovery here that I need. I think, you know, as it tends to happen for me, this is the paragraph that I needed today. Recovering also through other programs, and I think at some point, I don't know, trusting and relying on God, something greater than me, is the fundamental issue. And where I am right now, it makes me feel afraid. And the alternative is, when I rely on myself, I feel afraid. So, but I know that I've had in the past been able, through OA, to trust and rely on God and find freedom from the obsession and the fear. And so, while it's like both forks in the road have fear, one has a little bit of peace attached to it, and that's the spiritual path. And it's so easy for me and natural to just slip into my head and decide that I need to figure things out, because if I can figure things out and understand it enough, then I can make it okay. And that pertains to myself and other people in the world and any number of things. And sometimes it happens so subtly, I don't catch it, and then I don't catch it, and I don't catch it, and before I know it, it's been years and I've been running on self-will. And I had to hit a bottom, and I had to let it happen with food. And I've been there before many times, but to get to that place of where I realize I my life is unmanageable, and there is no hope, so that I reach out to God. And I think today I have 5 days abstinent from binging behavior, and I don't have perfect abstinence from this obsessive thought that I need to eat food to be able to fall asleep. I've chosen to believe that wholeheartedly, but I do find that when I'm laying in bed and that thought comes, if I pray and I ask God for help, it works. And it's not always perfect, but it's the solution that has, the only solution that worked for me in the past, and I'm returning to spirituality and God's will for me now. And as I said, it does fill me with some fear, because letting go, it's scary, but I have hope, and I, geez, I don't even know. That's just kind of what I've got for today. And yeah, my ideas did not work, but the God idea did, and I just need to keep it that simple right now. And thank you so much for being here and sharing all of your experience and recovery, because that's what I need. So with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Edward C. Amelia H., you are up next, and you'll be followed by Mary Pat.
Good morning, everybody. This is Amelia H. from New Hampshire. I want to share that two of my biggest bedevilments are my addiction to feeling anxious and worried. Recently come to the realization that has been my caffeine getting up in the morning. As soon as, or even before my feet hit the ground, for much of my life, I would reach for anxiety and worry, and that would launch me into a space of terror and fear and functioning out of that. And two nights ago, I finally had enough. And I just, you know, sobbing during my evening 11th step, said to God, I'm done. I don't want to wake up this way anymore. I want to wake up with you. I want to wake up with your peace and the plan that you have for me for today. And I said, I just, please help me to keep from those fear and anxiety thoughts before I even really hit consciousness. And the next morning, as soon as I hit consciousness, the phrase that came and I put on repeat in my mind until I could get up was, "Thy will be done." And I said it over and over and over and over. I have no idea how long I laid in bed before I was ready, but it's all of a sudden that space of peace entered my heart, and I could finally get up and get up grateful and ready to be awake and of service to God in a way that I've never experienced before. And it's just, again, my way of thinking was not helping. And has kept me in a space of constant anxiety and fear most of my life. And simply by asking, okay, your will, please, your will. I don't want to use mine anymore. It's not working. And it's amazing to watch the miracles that happen when I allow myself to do that, when I allow myself to rely and truly trust on my higher power. And that is all I have. I will pass.
Well, thank you very much, Amelia H. And Mary Pat, you are up next. Please share with us.
Hi, I'm Mary Pat. I'm from Ohio, compulsive eater on the recovery bus. So I have seen my higher power, I call him God, solve problems of many. I've seen miracles with my own eyes, the simple reliance on spirit of the universe. But I didn't doubt him for anybody else, but I doubted him for me. And, you know, so I used my self-will, my self-reliance, my best ideas, being essentially my own God. What I got out of that was my monkey mind with the bedevilments. And, so I had to think, you know, when really has my higher power ever let me down? And I can remember a grudge or a resentment for 30 years or 40 years, but I was racking my brain out trying to remember when God has ever let me down or failed me, and I could not. He's always met my needs, always, and most of what I wanted, really. So through this program, I have been learning acceptance. I've been back a year after 30 years, just about a year, and been learning surrender, and that's including my doubts and giving my will and my life over to Him. And such happiness and really joy and fulfillment serving Him rather than my other master, my addiction to sugar and food. So, I think with that, I'll pass. I thank you for letting me share.
Thanks so much. If anybody's got a burning desire for a two-minute share, jump in now.
Debbie P. from Indiana.
Debbie P., it's all yours. Take it.
Thank you, Elaine. Good morning, everyone. My name is Debbie P. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Indiana. And what I've been thinking about on this paragraph, it makes me remember, I started attending a 12-step program in 1995. And when I would read in the meeting, the steps would be read and the word God would be read, I just would get all prickly because of that. And I started, I ended up speaking with my sponsor about that. And she said, it's just words. You come up with your own, whatever you need to do. But, you know, in order for that to not be prickly for you. And so I just kind of learned that it's just a word that was used back in the 1930s. And I can put my own word in there. You know, and I quit the prickliness, but I still didn't believe that God was for me. Good orderly direction, the universe, whatever. I still didn't believe that I was worthy enough to have God help me with food. And that has been my biggest issue for getting abstinent until this year. I'm almost 11 months abstinent, yay. But I'm relying more on my higher power. It's not perfect. It's not every situation. And, you know, I have to learn sometimes still, you know, I get my will in the way and then I have to back up and say, oh, yep, that's right. That's why this is getting messy, is because I took the reins again. Okay, God, it's yours. Or good orderly direction, it's yours. Or universe, I'm giving this to you. And, you know, every time I do that, it works out, and it usually works out in a way that I would have never imagined. So anyway, I will pass with that. Thank you for letting me share.
So glad you did share. Thank you very much. Thank you, actually, everybody that shared. Just fabulous today. We're now going to transition the meeting by reading from the Big Book. Always, fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose: to carry its message to a compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a view, I'm on the wrong part of the script. All right, we're now going to close the meeting by reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Julie E.B. please read that for us? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Hi, this is Julie E.B., gratefully recovered in Colorado Springs. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Image your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit. You'll surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.